Good morning, everybody. Does anybody happen to have a praise report this morning by chance? Anybody? Oh, hi.
Everybody, listen to this. This
okay.
Is a great story.
Okay. I'm just waiting.
Go right ahead.
I just want to give the Lord praise for this because I had a situation where I went into the doctor, and heart disease runs in my family. My mother had an operation, and my brother. And anyway, he said that my EKG read abnormal, and he said, I want you to see a cardiologist. So I did. I went, and it took me 2 months to get into the appointment. And then I had all these tests, like a stress test and ultrasounds and imaging tests and the whole works. And then I went in for the follow-up visit Thursday, and I'm in the doctor's office waiting. And I had this perfect peace. I was just praising the Lord and thanking him. I said, it's going to be good no matter what. And he came in, and he goes, congratulations, your heart is strong, it's healthy, your valves are working properly, your oxygen is great, everything is great. So I just wanted to praise him and thank him for that and all your prayers.
Amen. Yes, yes, that's an answer to prayers. She was up all the time for prayer, and it got answered, didn't it? Her first diagnosis there was kind of doom and gloom, and of course that worries us, doesn't it? You know, it concerns us, it's on our mind, we try our best, but when you get a bad report from the doctor, and she did what we should all do, she took it to the Lord with prayer, right? Amen. Amen. Are we ready, Brian? Where's Brian? All right.
All right, we're going to open up in prayer. For those that know it this morning, we're going to open up with the Lord's Prayer. All right? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Kenny. You know, when Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, that's exactly what Jesus repeated, was the Lord's Prayer. So the reason I had Kenny read that is because in that prayer, Jesus said, thy will be done, thy kingdom come. And today what I want to talk about is doing God's will. And if you look in the book of Acts, it's all about doing God's will over our own will. So first, I looked up the definition of will. And in short, the definition is a desire, a purpose, or determination. Well, God has a purpose for your life. He has a will. He has determination for your life, and He has desires for you. But we also have our own desires and our own will. But the next couple weeks, what we're going to be talking about in the book of Acts is purposely choosing God's will for our life over our own will. I want to start off, we're going to start off in Acts chapter 9. I pulled it up here for you to make it convenient. What a coincidence, Bob. Donovan was actually doing Acts chapter 8 last week. I didn't even realize I was going to be starting in 9. So
that's why I didn't tell anybody what anybody else is doing. I said, pray about it. It always works out.
Amen.
If it works out, it's the Holy Spirit. You're on the right track.
And what's a real coincidence is this is what I'm preaching on today.
No.
Yes.
Are you serious?
Yes, Chief. So maybe you'll give me some new insight.
God is good. Amen. I did not know that.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. Well, I feel good.
There you go.
Well,
you're finally.
Why don't we just close it
and
we'll just go listen to Pastor Don? Why listen to this twice?
No, we want to listen to you. Then you guys can leave and go home.
All right. Well, we're going to read verses 1 through 8 here. It says, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Well, it wasn't just threats. He actually did allow them to murder him. Amen. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice to him say, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they didn't see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. So we're going to stop right there. God's will for Saul was for him to get up and go into the city, and there he would be told what to do. Did Saul argue with him right there? I don't see that here. It says here in verse 8, it says, Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. And I find it ironic that he was blinded for 3 days. And I think that's a parallel that Saul, I think maybe the reason God allowed him to be blinded is because he was spiritually blind. Because he thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was being a hero to the Jewish faith there. So how did Saul respond? "Well, Lord, you know, let me think about it. You know, this, that." No, he's blind and like, "All right, get up. We got to go to the city." He didn't say, "No, I ain't going. You know, I'm going to do what I want to do." Did Saul respond like that? No, he didn't. Let's go to verse 9 here. It says, "For 3 days he was blind and didn't eat or drink anything." You know, sometimes God has to take drastic measures to get our attention. Amen? And like I said, maybe God had to show Saul how spiritually blind he was. So for 3 days, he was blinded. And I look back at my own life and some things, like when I'm sharing my testimony with people, one of the things I tell them is, I'm 49 now. When I was 30, I had kidney failure. And I says, it was the worst, best thing that ever happened to me. I'm like, "Well, what are you talking about?" I says, "Well, I wasn't serving God." I says, "I was going to a church. I throw a few bucks in the plate, but my heart wasn't in it." And when that drastic thing happened to me, it got my attention real quick. You know, the reality of hell actually kind of scared me. But, you know, God uses all things for the good, right? For those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I know God had a purpose. He had a plan for my life. And, you know, for years I'd kind of gone in circles. Whew, makes you dizzy. Yeah. But, you know, God allowed me to get through this. And with his strength, with his help, you know, I got through that and rededicated my life to the Lord. Right when I got up out of the coma, I rededicated right there and been serving him the best I can ever since. So I thank God. So when I tell unbelievers, they're like, "Well, you don't look like you had any problems, this and that." And it's really, God uses so many things in your life, even the bad. I've been able to minister to sick people, to cancer patients, to this, to that. Well, what do you know about being sick? Well, let me tell you. You know, yeah, I was on dialysis. Yeah, I had a transplant. Yeah, this, that, you know, all these other things. And so I praise God that he used that situation. And he also brought me closer to my family. My sister gave me the kidney. And I wrote her a letter when we both went under the knife. And I was telling her about how Jesus said, "There's no greater love than lay down your life for your brother." So, you know, just because you go through a bad thing, we all go through bad things. But God can use it for his will, for his plan, for his purpose. Amen? Verse 10. Now in Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. Yeah, how much you want to bet that Saul was praying? He's blind for 3 days. I guarantee you he was praying nonstop. Oh, Lord, please, Lord, help me out here. This is, ask for a man named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, Saul has seen a man named Ananias and placed his hands on him to restore his sight. So God was preparing Saul that, you know what, you're going to get your sight back. Lord, Ananias answered, I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he's come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. Now here, Ananias is starting to argue with God, like, well, God, you sure you know what you're doing here? Because this guy, you know, I heard he was a terrorist. I heard this. God, you sure? You want me to witness to that? You want me to pray for this guy? You want me to pray for Sammy? I don't know. He's Lebanese. I don't know.
Thank you.
But the Lord said to Ananias, go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. You know, sometimes like Ananias, we try to reason with God. You know, Ananias, he was a God-fearing man. He was a godly man. He probably did pretty much what God wanted him to do. But this time, he had a large, are you sure, Lord? You sure you want me to do that? You know? Like Pastor Don, are you sure you want me to move, Lord? Yes. There goes the neighborhood. You sure you want to be neighbors with him, Lord? Yes. Yes. So, you know, here Ananias is, he's got a little banter going with the Lord, and the Lord just says, go. Like, hey, listen. You know, kind of like your dad, old man. You know, when you're a kid, you know, I could think of Kenny here telling Shane, go. You know, get that yard done. Jesse, you could sleep in, but Shane, you go work. Go. Go, fix that house. So I got a little story that goes with that. I shared this at the men's group. We had a men's meeting a couple weeks ago, and Anthony brought his nephew over, and he had some emotional problems and some other things going on in his life. So I kind of avoided him. You know, after the men's meeting, I walked right past him. I'm going down the stairs. I'm like, hey, how you doing? And I got my car, you know, and I get my car and I'm driving. I'm like, okay, you know, that's cool. I don't have to deal with this guy because he's got some problems, you know. I don't just tiptoe out of here, you know. So I get down to by Outer Drive, and the Spirit of the Lord speaks to me, says, I want you to go back and talk to that young man. I said, well, that's not God. I heard the voice again. I want you to go back, turn your car around, and go back and talk to that young man. Well, there was three options. Either that was God, which probably was. I know my flesh didn't want to do it because I was already on my way home, looking forward to the Lazy Boy. I was like, that's not my flesh telling me to turn around. And really, do you think the devil wants me to come back around and minister to this guy? I said, all right, by process of elimination, I knew it was the Lord. No comment. So I come back around, and I ended up talking to the young man, and he had some problems, and by the end of the conversation, we talked for a good half hour or so. And his demeanor had changed, and his countenance had changed. And then I could see him through God's eyes. Like, he's lost, like you were, Brian. He needs the Lord. He needs to know about me. He needs He needs my love, you know. So we had that day. Well, Anthony had him at his house for like a week. So a few days later, Anthony says, "Hey, you want to get together with me and my nephew?" And I'm like, "No." "No, I'm just kidding." I said, "Sure." Yes. I said, "Sure." I says, "You know, we had work off that week. I got a little basketball court. So why don't you come up? We'll throw the basketball around." So he came up there, and at first he was timid again, and he was all, you know, nervous. But next thing you know, after throwing the ball around for a while, he loosened up, and by the end of playing and ministering to him, because we talked about the Lord with him too, not just playing basketball. We talked about God. We talked about a relationship, how he needed that, and how he's actually my son's age. So I really had a heart for this kid. And then when I found out his testimony of what happened in his life, I was like, whoa. So by the end of the hour, when they left, Anthony says, "Hey, Brian, will you take a picture of me and my nephew?" I says, "Yeah, I'd love to." He goes, and the nephew goes, "No, I want one with Chief." And he called me Chief. He goes, "I want one with Chief in it." So the three of us, so one of my guys at work came over, and we, you know, had the kid in the middle. We took a picture. And he didn't want to go back home to Jackson. He lived like in a halfway house. He wanted to stay here, and it was just like, God just showed me, you know, by being obedient, even though I argued like Ananias at first, I was actually blessed. You know, I could see some life in this young man when we first met him. I didn't see that. Amen. Okay, we're going to go. See, I'm my own techno guy right now, so.
That's scary.
Yes. Exodus.
While you're looking that up,
yes.
Sarge, share with me yesterday. I'm going to put the microphone for you.
After men's breakfast, Pastor Don wants to say, I had to talk to Pastor Don. He said, "Let's go for a ride. I got to go down to Honeybees to pick up some meat." So I said, "Okay." So we drive down and we're talking. We gets there and gets there to register. Young girl standing there just humming, and Pastor Don starts a line. People lined up trying to get it. Pastor Don starts a conversation up with the young lady. He goes, "Oh, you're a singer." She goes, no. "Oh, yes, I can tell because you're humming and you're a singer." "Well, how do you know I'm a singer?" "Well, I can tell, you know." She says, "Well, I used to sing in a church group, but I moved from Muskegon to here." And she says, "And I'm looking for a church." He goes, "Whoa, my name is Pastor Don. We have a church. Church in Melvindale." She goes, "I never heard of Melvindale." So he's trying to tell her, "Okay, you go down Southfield, blah, blah, blah." She's on, I'm sitting outside, takes my wallet out, and the cars we carry, walking to our church. Here you go. Get directions, phone numbers. But, you know, but people were lined up. Nobody said nothing. That, you know, said, "Come on, hurry up." It was nice. Pastor Don just talking to a young lady. She goes, "Man, I'm going to try to make it come to your church." It was just like, never missed the opportunity. Never missed the opportunity. But if I'd have been in line behind that lady, I'd have said, "Come on, let's go, let's go."
So Roger's my wingman now. Get that card ready.
Bob, Cody would like to read for us. We're going to read verse 4 through 12, Code.
All right.
Get that mic up high. Come on.
When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." "Do not come any closer," God said. "Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground." Then he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." At this time, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the land of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, and every other ite. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to the Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain."
Okay, thank you. Good job, Code.
Good job.
Verse 10, you know, God says, go. You know? And here's Moses. How many of us do this? Well, hey, Lord, who am I? I'm like Cody. He didn't think he could read. He did it. You know, who's Cody? But don't we have that mindset? Who am I? I mean, I didn't go to college. I didn't do this. Lord, the youngest of my tribe. Lord, who am I? You know, and what ministered to me here is, you know, we need to stop saying, who am I? And start believing who we are. Amen? I mean, if we have the Spirit of God living inside of us, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. And one of my favorite scriptures is Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I've shared this before at a breakfast. My first class in college was a speech class. And the very last speech I gave was I was sharing my testimony. And about halfway through, my knees started knocking. I started shaking. I'm like, what's going on here? And I dropped the mic. I said, I'm done. I can't do this because of the fear, the anxiety of speaking in public. And you know, God was just preparing me to be able to speak, even back at 17 years old. You know, if you know anything about me, I do sports announcing across the street, and I absolutely love it. But that's not my main purpose over there. You know, my main purpose is to be used by the Lord, and I'll share something later that goes along with that announcing. Okay, question. How many in this room have children? Wow. How many are pleased when they do what you ask them to do?
I don't think I've ever been in that situation. I don't know.
So how much more do you think our Father, God our Father, is pleased when we do what He asks us to do? Amen? I think, you know, you ask your kid to clean their room. And when they're a teenager, they don't want to clean. You want to choke them, you know. But it pleases you. It pleases you when your kids, you know, when they go to school, they're doing well. You know, they're serving the Lord. You know, my daughter's serving the Lord now, and it pleases me. You know, I love seeing her on that straight. Now, does that mean she's perfect? No. I still got to get on her sometimes about cleaning her room. But, no, it pleases us, you know. And how much more pleased is our Heavenly Father? Okay, we're going to go 1 John chapter 3, verse 21 to 23. All right, is that where we're at? It says, "Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from Him whatever we ask, because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him." Do you like to please God? I do. I want to please God in everything I do. Do I do that? Heck no. Do I repent? Yeah. You know, the Bible says be quick to repent. And that's not just with the Lord. If you're married, repent to your spouse. I've even had to repent to my kids for, you know, having a sharp tongue. And it says in 23, I like this, and this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He has commanded us. Amen. Next page. Any comments, questions, any? All good.
You're on a roll.
Okay. Yeah, like I said, more than anything else, I do want to please God. I think that should be the desires of all our hearts. And if it's not your desire, I pray for God to give you the desire. Lord, just let me please you. Because when we please the Lord and we're walking in His will, there's no greater feeling. But I'll quote a famous person, Donovan. Last week when he said, he quoted Paul, the Apostle Paul, who said, "What I want to do, I don't do, but I find myself basically doing the exact opposite." It's like we want to do good. Man, I want to please God. Man, I want to lead people to the Lord. But man, it is a fight against my will. This flesh, it gets in my way. This flesh wants to sit in that lazy boy sometimes. It wants to watch sports. It don't want to leave the house sometimes. It's ugly. I mean, it might not look so ugly right now. Bad hair day. You know, when Saul was doing his own will by persecuting Christians, he thought he was doing God's will. Right? He thought he was doing the right thing. And I can imagine when some people spend their entire lives thinking they're doing God's will, and then they pass on and they have to face the Lord at the judgment. That's scary. That's scary stuff. And I'm going to go to Matthew 7 here. Verse 21. This is, to me, one of the scariest verses in the Bible. It scares me. True and false disciples. It says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does" what? "The will." Only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. "Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name did we not drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" And that's scary. That's scary stuff. You know, for people that think they know the Lord, they think they're doing His will. You know, even be able to perform miracles. So I have a question. So how much importance should we put on doing God's will, church, over our own? I think we should make a top priority to do God's will. You know, whatever that is. I mean, you might have to seek some counsel, you know, with the pastor. Say, what do you think my will is? What's God's will for my life, Lord? You know, get into prayer. You have something?
No. Nope. Just crossing my leg.
And then, you know, just because something is a good thing doesn't make it a God thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I could decide in my heart, you know, every Sunday morning I'm going to go help the old lady across the street. You know, and that's going to be my good thing.
And you could take it a step further, Brian. Even if it is a God thing, it might not be the God thing you're supposed to do.
Right.
We don't get to pick and choose our gifts. We don't get to pick and choose our ministries, where we're sent. And that's, you can go out and do the greatest things. But it's when you stand in front of the Lord, the only thing He's going to ask you is, did you do what I ask?
Amen. And that is scary stuff.
There's the last story you read, Ananias.
Yes.
We don't read anything else in the Bible, do we? But don't you think when he stands in front of the Lord's going to say, "Job well done"? Because he did go do it, right? That might have been the only thing that God asked him. I'm sure a lot of small things, but that was the one big thing he had planned for him. And he did it. And he's going to be blessed for that.
Yeah. Amen. You know, I find when I'm in the middle of God's will, doing something for Him, it's the most exciting thing ever, when you're doing God's will. And I think about, there's Joe and Jake back there. You guys remember when we went to Sturgis? We took the senior youth boys. Me and Dan took about, what, five or six boys? And we went down there, and the first night, boys were kind of like surveying the area. You know, okay, you know, all these other kids are worshiping God, and they're worshiping the Lord, and they're just kind of, okay, they're standing back. And that was the first night we scouted the land. And we stayed at a hotel, so we had some time. We played some football in the pool and stuff, and just had a lot of fun. But by the second night, the Spirit of the Lord hit that meeting so hard by the second meeting that our boys, they are up front amongst like a couple, 250 kids, and they were up front, and they were praying over people. Thomas was slain in the Spirit. They were just, I mean, it was like Tom was crying, and it was like, man. And I remember at that moment, I looked at Dan, the other adult teacher, and I says, is there any other place you'd rather be right now than right here? There was no other place at that moment, you know, because we've seen life-changing things going on. We've seen a young man who, he was a big kid, played, you know, football player, and on Friday night, there was like six pastors praying over this kid. Like, what's going on over there? Well, he had some type of demonic spirit. And they were praying over him, and he was, like, fighting against him or whatever. So the next day, we're playing football with some kids, and I met this young man. He's, you know, this really good guy and everything. And I think it was Jake said to me, he says, yeah, that was the kid they were praying over last night, and they cast a demon out. I go, what? Do you remember that? Like, wow. So we've seen lives transform. We've seen young men become leaders. And just being there, you know, in the presence of God. And it was just incredible. It was exciting stuff. You know, if you're looking for true joy in your life, start seeking God's will. Say, God, what? That's going to bring you fulfillment. That's going to bring you joy, is doing His will. It's not burdensome. It's not, oh, man, I got to go to church. Oh, I got to do it. You know. Like I said, with that young man that I got to, Anthony's nephew, and I got to minister to him. At first, I just wanted to go home. I didn't want to do it. But by the time he came back, and when he asked to have my picture with him, that melted my heart. It's like, you know, what are you going to do? That brought me true joy. Acts 20:24 says this. Saul, who is now referred to as Paul, he says this. He says, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. That was his only purpose now. He wanted to finish that race. You know, we're all in a race, but we're all, God has us where he wants us. We're not racing against each other or racing with each other. You ever see like the Boston Marathon or New York Marathon and somebody's helping somebody across the line and all the guy that can crawl, he's getting, you know, just want to finish that race. Kim, you run marathons. Is it a sprint? No. It's 26 grueling, .2 grueling miles. You know, I wouldn't want to do it. But in the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. We have to practice. We have to, you know, God's going to give you a little bit. You're not going to have to run a marathon your first day out. You know, before you teach up here, maybe God will give you the little kids. Okay, we want you to teach in here. And before that, and you move on and so forth. All right, so we'll continue next week. Got some more good stuff in here. And Bob, you want to pick somebody to close us out?
All right. Who would like to close us in prayer today, Sammy?
I don't know who. Oh, me.
Peyton, close us in
Peyton,
prayer.
You want her to do
Who does
it,
Jesus?
We'll do it.
Beauty and the Beast. Beauty. Well, we know that.
All right, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for this day, Lord God. We thank you for the word that you prepared in Brian's heart, Lord. And we just pray that each one of us received it, Lord, that'll be our heart's cry to do your will. Father, to put ourselves last and put you first, Lord. We pray that you just prepare our hearts for worship, just to get into your presence, Lord, and press in to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sammy. Thank you, sir.